Good morning. Good morning to people in church and good morning to people on Zoom. It's really good to see you here. Now, I suspect there'll be something in the intimations about our new lectern. There's not. Oh, right, so I get to see something. Right, okay. The new lectern. And this was made for us by Norrie Lindsay. It looks terrific. Marion assures me she's got it on the lowest setting so that she can see, and she's getting to fly for the first time. So this will be really exciting. But it is lovely to have that. It's something that's kind of been missing, and that will enable us to do more with this area. So thanks to Norrie, and a material thank you will reach him, if we put it that way. So I think I should hand over to Marion now.
Good morning, everyone. I feel very honoured to be the first one to test drive the lectern. A very warm welcome to our service, everyone, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. The summer services, during the summer holidays, our Sunday services will continue at the normal time of 11:30 a.m. However, on the 10th, the 17th and the 24th of July, the service will be slightly shorter. Please note there will be no live Zoom facility on these days, nor on the 31st of July. This morning's addition to the intimations will be the final sheet to be issued ahead of the summer holidays. For the next few weeks, any urgent notices will be given verbally in church and will appear on our Facebook page. From the 21st of August, a printed sheet will be available each Sunday at church in addition to the online and email versions resuming. Chirrup celebration. There will be an event to celebrate the completion of our renovation of the interior of the church at 12 noon on Saturday the 20th of August. This will include a picnic in the manse garden. We will be renaming the session house as the Irene Patterson Room, to commemorate the generous legacy left to the church by Irene. The moderator of the General Assembly, the Right Reverend Dr. Ian Greenshields, will attend the proceedings. Please save the date. Finally, here is a quick look at the order of service.
So let's turn to worship. We worship Almighty God by singing the first of our hymns, number 125, if you are using the hymn book, Lord of All Being, Throned Afar, hymn 125.
Sing.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we present our offering as a token of our love and of our desire to serve you. Accept and use all that we offer. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we worship God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather in your presence to offer our praise and prayer. We worship you with every part of our being, with all of our strength, all of our mind, all of our spirit. Here we look to you who are infinite and eternal. Whatever we think we know of you, you are always more. You are beyond all time and space, for you created all that is. As mere creature, limited by being of this earth, caught in time, knowing our frailty and imperfection, we gather in your presence. It is with a sense of wonder we acknowledge your infinite love and limitless grace. You are merciful and kind, slow to anger and quick to forgive. You understand our weakness and reach out with salvation. Through Jesus, you come close to us. In his humanity, the assurance of God with us. In his glory, the assurance of Jesus' intercession for us in the heavenly places. So it is with confidence that we take a moment to confess before you. In the quiet of this time, we confess our sin and seek your forgiveness. You have heard our confession, and in your mercy you forgive. Our prayer is that in worship and in life we may truly serve you and bring glory to your name. We offer our praise and prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and in the words that Jesus taught, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We sing again, hymn number 189, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Come, I'll be for him now, with reverence.
Earlier last week, I had reason to go into Limekilns Primary School. And when you go into school, you go, first of all, go to the school office to sign in, and you sign in and then you sign out when you leave. Part of the security process. In Limekilns, as you go to the office, you pass the Primary 1 classroom. So I walked into the school, and before I got to the office, a small boy came out of the Primary 1 class. "Who are you?" he said. "Are you the library man?" And I said, "No, I wasn't the library man." "Who did he think I was?" "You're the church man," he said. So I told him my name, and he, quite amusingly, stuck out his hand, shook hands, and said, "Pleased to meet you." And off he went. Put a smile on my face for the rest of the day. Here's a story from 50 or so years ago. A well-known TV presenter was arriving at Broadcasting House in London. There was a new security man on the door, and he asked for identification, to which the reply was, "Don't you know who I am?" "Sorry, I don't. But even if I did, I would still ask you for your ID." There are many versions of that story, because in many places, people who think they're somebody are quite put out when they're not recognised. Many, of course, have commented that it is we who have created a culture that almost worships celebrity. In our celebrity-obsessed culture, there are those who are simply famous because they're famous. They've not really done anything to merit the position they have. I have a problem with celebrity. And what I'm about to tell you reveals a character flaw. It is certainly not about me being generous, and I suspect it's not particularly Christian either. But I always laugh when I look at the television schedule in the newspaper and see the title of a popular quiz programme. It strikes me that this is a tautology. Now, for those of you who don't know, a tautology is unnecessarily saying the same thing twice. The programme is Pointless Celebrities. And I just kind of shrug and go, you could just have said celebrities. Now, it is a bit unfair, because many of those whom we regard as celebrities find the cult of celebrity the most difficult part of their lives. And there are many who use the fame that they have for the good of others. In our New Testament reading, we have the story of an important man who almost lets pride cause real harm to himself. He knows he is somebody. It's the story of Naaman from the book of 2 Kings. In our New Testament reading, we have Paul instructing the Galatian church about right relationship and right action. When we come to the sermon, I've included some words written by Martin Luther King. It's a quotation that begins, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve." We're now going to read from 2 Kings and Paul's letter to the Galatians. So having tried out the new lectern, Marion is now an expert and is going to give it a proper driving test. Our readings.
Our Our first reading is from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Naaman healed of leprosy. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Our second reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10, doing good to all. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen.
We continue by singing hymn number 270, Put All Your Trust in God. About you, but I know that for me, one of the great disappointments in life is discovering that people I admire are not perfect. This can be people we know personally, or those who are our heroes because of some talent they have. The fall from grace of people we once admired can be deeply disappointing and sometimes quite disturbing. Especially so when we find that fame and influence have been used to abuse others. Even where it is simply folk falling out with each other, it has an effect. There are people today who still remember with a degree of disappointment things like the time the Beatles broke up. In my young life, the first music album I bought was Obscured by Clouds by Pink Floyd. And if I were to choose a group that was my absolute favourite, it would be Pink Floyd. Most commentators tell us that they were at their best when there were four of them who produced music like Dark Side of the Moon. Not long after that, the tensions between Dave Gilmour and Roger Waters brought an end to working together as four. And not only did it produce problems then, it has continued to do so. I learned recently that they had produced a remastered version of the album Animals. It was ready for release in 2018. But because of the ongoing disagreement between Gilmore and Waters, the final release is going to be autumn of this year. What is ironic is that Animals is based upon Animal Farm. This book that was a critique of communism and looked at what happened within relationship as people vied for power and prestige. Of course, the famous quote that we probably know is, "All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others." This is something that applies to far more than communism. It applies to all sorts of bits of us as human society. It describes the human condition. Even when we try hard to maintain equality, it proves difficult. And more often, the tendency is to create a hierarchy. Now, it is good to have people we trust and respect in positions of leadership. On a more negative note, we can also be glad to have someone in leadership because we've got someone to blame when things go wrong. Humanity can be very good at putting someone on a pedestal for the main purpose of knocking them down. In thinking about ourselves, it is right that we should be proud of our achievements. And yet we also know that pride can be that which has us look down upon others. Where we give thanks for what is good, pride is right. But we also know that pride can be a sin, and particularly when we think too much of ourselves. Maybe just a little qualification in there to say that false modesty is also a kind of pride. There is something gracious about those who can accept praise with a mixture of gratefulness and humility. The same folk are often ready to accept criticism in exactly the same manner. In our New Testament reading today, we have the instruction to judge our own actions. The qualification that Paul gives is to do this without comparing ourselves to others. And that's a very easy thing to do. We might think of it as childish. I did better than my sister. At least I didn't do that. But adults are equally capable of doing this. Lying behind Paul's instruction is the premise that only God is judge. Since we are not perfect, we will at times need to be corrected. Since we care for each other, we may at times have to correct the other. But there should be nothing here of superiority nor inferiority. If we are being honest, where we try to help someone with a fault, it is sinner helping sinner. Paul goes on to encourage us to be tireless in doing good. It is a good reading. And when I looked to see what Old Testament reading was kind of matched to it, I was a bit surprised to find the reading from 2 Kings. And then it struck me that this story is a really good illustration to do with pride and doing the right thing. The story of Naaman is a good one. We only read part of it, and there's a lot more after that. It was a long enough reading as it was. But it's a good story, so go and have a wee look at the story in 2 Kings. Naaman is an important man. His status is revealed by the fact that he is still in a position of authority, and he is living with his family, even though he has leprosy. Most people would be exiled and abandoned. As it is, Naaman is in a precarious position, and his future is bleak. In the story, God works a miracle through the prophet Elisha. But that miracle begins with a slave girl, a girl who does the right thing, who does the good thing. She could quite rightly, in those times, have seen this disease as God's judgment upon an enemy of God's people. At the very least, Naaman is a hated foreigner. He belongs to a powerful nation. The king of Israel would have feared this nation. So the request from the king of Aram comes as nothing more than provocation. Those who are in politics tend to think in political terms. The king of Israel does not consider what God might do. Instead, he sees this as provocation, as an attack on his authority. Elisha, on hearing of the king's distress, reminds the king that he is God's prophet. And then, of course, in the story, the problem of pride. This boils down to Naaman being asked to do a simple thing that shows humility. Nothing here that would reveal either his status nor his courage. He's about to go off in the huff with his nose out of joint. It's the servants who do the right thing. I suppose the argument boils down to, what have you got to lose? And the result, a miracle of healing. Before God, Naaman is not a great man, simply an ordinary man in need. Naaman's path to healing and to faith in the God of Israel begins with a slave girl. And that's shorthand for nobody. She is of no importance. But before God, that girl is not nobody. She has a key part to play in God's plan, though she may never know it. Paul reminds us that in life we reap what we sow. And the encouragement is to sow that which produces a spiritual crop, that which is of eternal worth. If we are caught up in the things of this earth, as Naaman was, he was about to sow what was earthly because he saw what he himself was in terms of this earth. There is no profit but to sow what is of eternal worth, what is of the Spirit, is right. We are to use every opportunity to do good. And a bit more of Martin Luther King's words. He said, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. And then he tells us how. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. And perhaps we should also remember that what Paul says in this passage from Galatians is that we begin with the fellowship of God's people. If we cannot be good and right and generous within the fellowship, how will we ever be good and right and generous out in the world? We are to be Christ to the world. And so, the command is that we should never tire of doing good. We should use every opportunity, and we will reap a harvest that is eternal. Amen. We turn to God now with our prayers for other people. Let us pray. Almighty God, we reach out in prayer to those in need in our world. We think of Ukraine as we see and hear of attacks on civilian targets. We pray for those who have suffered because of missile strikes on apartment blocks and a shopping centre. We think of those caught up in the shelling of towns and cities and of vicious street-by-street fighting. Almighty God, as we pray for peace in Ukraine, we also remember that this is not the only place of conflict or war on earth. So we pray that you will restrain those who would use violence against their neighbour, and that you would strengthen and encourage those who are the peacemakers, those who seek to do good. As we pray for peace on earth, we think of the many who have fled home and kindred, those who have become migrants and refugees in the world of today. We know that it is not just conflict, but also poverty that drives people. And so we think of those crossing the channel on flimsy boats to reach this land. We think of those who lost their lives in that truck crossing from Mexico into the USA. We pray for all who are refugees in the world. We think of the struggles in our world today, the shortages of basic necessities. We think of Sri Lanka and Mozambique as those nations run out of fuel. We pray for Sudan, where almost the majority of the population are facing food shortages. We think and pray for the many nations who will suffer in the near future, the poorest nations on this earth being warned of shortages and famine. Our prayer is that aid will reach those in need. But we also pray for those who are making decisions that affect peoples and nations. We pray that the leaders of the nations will look for what is good and right and make the right decision. And as we pray for the leaders of the nations, so we think of the governments and administrations within our own country. We ask for wisdom and for the courage to do what is right. We think of growing fears within our land that the cost of living is going to increase. And as we pray, we remember growing industrial unrest and of strikes taking place, as well as strikes threatened in the future. In these uncertain times, guide all who are the decision makers who affect so many lives. We remember the growing infection rate of COVID-19. As we pray, we remember those working in the health services. We think of the pressures upon businesses and services as people are off sick. We pray for those who are vulnerable and those who are in hospital. This weekend, as school holidays begin, we remember children and young people, teachers and school staff. Our prayer is that these summer months will be good And so we pray for safety and travel and for the health and well-being of all. We pray too for the church, that you will guide us as your people. Bless us through these summer months in all of our worship and service. Help us to never tire of doing good and to seek to serve you, to sow that which is eternal. And now a moment for our private and personal prayer. We bring to you those things that are upon our hearts and in our minds. Hear us, we pray. Accept our prayers and answer our requests. For we present these in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And so to our closing praise for today, hymn number 513, Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble. The Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you love, now and forever.